Good evening, Wahoos, and welcome, ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my co-host, Jim Hobgood, and research analyst, Michael Tusky. The Wahoo football team delivered an exciting win versus Georgia Tech to get their fourth win of the season on Saturday. UVA is preparing for another big ACC home game on Saturday, also a 3:30 kickoff. Tonight, we'll be reviewing Virginia's big win, and we'll also analyze the preparations for the NC State game on Saturday. We're glad that you've joined us.
Indeed. This is Jim, otherwise known as Hobbo in some quarters. We have another exciting edition of Who's Talking for you tonight. We'll be discussing, as Frank said, the huge, how about them Who's, huh?
Yes.
Huge win over Georgia Tech last Saturday. As Frank said, another big game at home this Saturday. But in the second half hour, we will have former UVA star quarterback Bob Davis. Now, he's a different era, but was a terrific player back in the 1960s for Virginia. We'll also have, as our first guest, Dr. Matt Walker of Ortho Virginia. So we're going to get that injury report early tonight rather than later. We're going to have a brief appearance by Wahoo Wah documentary producer Kevin Eds to share his perspective on UVA football history, and he can also maybe give us a tidbit or two on Bob Davis before he joins us in the second half hour. And Mr. Michael Tusky is going to tell you several ways to follow the show right now.
We encourage call-ins. Just dial 345-0910. Who's Talking is also streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. All of our previous shows are archived on thesaber.com. We encourage you to log on to Facebook. Just search for Who's Talking and become a fan. Your questions and comments are always welcome. Just call us at 345-0910.
Well, Frank, you were there in person. I had a sick wife, so I had to sit at home and watch it on television. But a very impressive football game on Saturday. You know, an exciting game. It's always better when you win, by the way. You know. But the fans storming the field afterward, those were some of the moments that a lot of Virginia fans have longed for. And is that a sign of things to come? What do you think?
Absolutely. I think this is a game and a victory and a point in time that fans 5-10 years from now are going to look back and say this is when the Virginia program began to take
turning to the corner. Huh?
Absolutely. You could feel it throughout the game. Virginia came out with serious intensity on both sides of the ball. And, you know, a couple of the big takeaways from the game. Number one, Virginia has excellent stable of running backs. The Virginia offensive line is just outstanding. They just bulldozed Georgia Tech all day. At one point in the second half, the Virginia fans were screaming, just run the ball. It's been a long time since I've sat in Scott Stadium and agreed. You know, let's face it, I've always been one to say, go for the play action. Let's go for the deep throw or whatever. But you know what? This team and their makeup and the design of the program, Virginia can play good, physical, hard-nosed football. And it was very exciting to see. You know, Anthony Mahota was named the offensive lineman of the week by the ACC, and it was well-deserved. He crushed people all over the field. Morgan Moses did his usual thing. He was blocking people. Luke Bowanko was just outstanding. You know, Coulter Phillips at tight end was blocking down and sealing the corner. The Virginia backs got around the end so many times. It almost felt like the door was open.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, the offensive line is unbelievably impressive, and the stable of running backs, and I think Coach Lazor has said you can never have too many running backs because they do have a tendency to get hurt every once in a while because of the vulnerability of being a running back. But the other thing that I thought was really impressive on Saturday just watching the game was the Virginia defense. And I really, you know, I mean, I've admitted before I'm a friend and a big fan of Jim Reed. Last year, because the defense gave up a number of big plays, the defense and Jim Reed was taking a little criticism. But I was really happy for the defense and Coach Reed and his staff because, you know, really, I mean, Georgia Tech had a pick six. But otherwise, I mean, they had two touchdowns on offense. That's all they were able to score, only 272 yards rushing for a team that runs the ball like they do. So I thought the defense was particularly good, especially in the fourth quarter.
Well, I said before the game, both on the show and off air, I said if Virginia can't get ready for this triple option with 2 weeks of preparation, and having seen them over the last couple of years execute that thing to perfection, then, you know, I would be concerned about Coach Reed. And you know what was felt so good on Saturday is I felt like the Virginia defense knew what Georgia Tech was going to do. The players knew where they needed to be. There was a lot of discipline on the field. You know, Rodney McLeod had an enormously huge game. He never gets enough credit. And as one of the captains this year, I felt like, you know, he's been injured and dinged up some. But he was filling, you know, the holes and covering that pitch man. They did a marvelous job of keeping the quarterback Washington under control.
Yeah, he had to be tired at the end of the game because he was running from one side of the field to the other all afternoon.
Oh, he was sideline to sideline.
So we know he's in shape, if nothing else.
And, you know, Steve Greer, you know, he reminds me of John Copper in a lot of ways, who's been a regular guest on our program. Greer really showed, as the middle linebacker, he showed everyone a lot on Saturday. He was where he had to be. There was only one play in the whole game where he got caught a little bit, you know, off balance, and Washington scrambled on either a third and long or a fourth and long. He scrambled for a first down up the middle. But other than that, Greer was where he was supposed to be, and he did the things he needed to do. And Shucks Conrath was also named ACC Defensive Lineman of the Week, and he's one of my favorite players, and I think he really demonstrated beyond a shadow of doubt on Saturday that he could play pro football. I think Matt Conrath, with his size and his agility, he blocked a field goal attempt in the first half. He was constantly putting pressure up the middle on pass plays and generally disrupting things and covering Washington sometimes on that pitch play. But, you know, we could go on and on about all the players.
Well, it was just a great day for Virginia football and Virginia football fans. But, you know me, I always have to give a basketball analogy. It's like a basketball game where you're down two with a second to go and your guy just got fouled and he's going to the line to shoot a one-and-one. The Georgia Tech game was the front end of the one-and-one, but it doesn't do you any good unless you make the second shot. So I think Georgia Tech was the front end. NC State is the backside of that one-and-one. So Virginia's got to make sure they stay focused and take care of business on Saturday. If they do, then all of a sudden, you know, this year a bowl game and beyond certainly could be achieved.
Well, no two ways about it, Hobgood. You know, the strange thing is all of a sudden a game that I think Virginia fans were going to be counting on and praying that they could win, all of a sudden this game has huge meaning on Saturday.
Absolutely.
NC State comes in there 0-2 in the ACC and certainly a team that, you know, Virginia needs to take care of business and send them home 0-3, but yeah. Understand, I believe we've got
Dr. Walker
with us from Ortho, Virginia. Dr. Walker, are you there?
Hey, Frank, I'm here. How are you?
Perfect timing, my man. All right, we didn't have a chance to talk about all your amazing accomplishments. Suffice is to say that shoulder and elbow surgery and replacement is really your specialty, although you also obviously can handle general orthopedics, but see that you undergrad, you went to JMU and then UVA Med School and went on to University of Maryland up in Baltimore to do your residency, and then your fellowship was at the Florida Orthopedic Institute. And what town is that in?
Florida Orthopedics is down in Tampa, Florida.
Oh, that's a rough gig, wasn't it?
It was tough down there, let me tell you. But we had a great experience down there. We were able to take care of a lot of professional sports team, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Rays, and the Buccaneers are down in that area. And we had the privilege of taking care of all those sports teams as well.
Well, let's get down to Wahoo business.
Sure.
You know, looking at the injury report that they released on Monday, and they bring out a more in-depth report on Thursday, but at this point, the only new news that we are aware of is that Charlie Richards has a shoulder issue, and wide receiver E.J. Scott, who some people had hoped would start working his way into competing for some playtime, has a medical issue. And apparently that they're going to be out for the rest of the season. They joined Bobby Smith, Tyler Smith, Landon Bradley, Carell Latimer, Connor McCartan, Pablo Alvarez, and James Valeris. But it does look like Kevin Parks and Cam Johnson are healthy, which those are two key players for the Virginia football team. So
they played healthy last week.
They did play healthy, didn't they?
They did play well with Georgia Tech. And it's good to have those guys back. It looks like the list of injuries are piling up, especially for students who are out for the season. You know, Charlie Richards, I suspect, has another shoulder dislocation, and he might be in the same boat as Pablo Alvarez with the instability. So we'll have to see how that pans out. And E.J. Scott's medical concerns, hopefully he gets those addressed. I'm not sure how long those are going to keep him from playing, but it's unfortunate to hear that he's going to be gone as well.
Now, with the Charlie Richards, do you think he will require surgery for his situation, or do you know?
You know, if he had a true dislocation, I'm pretty aggressive with fixing football players because recurrent instability happens very quickly with contact athletes. So for somebody who wants to get back to playing as soon as possible, I think an instability surgery and arthroscopic repair of that lesion is the best thing to have done.
You know, Virginia's kind of halfway through the season. What are some of the things that you would look for, just kind of nagging problems that football players are going to have at this stage?
Sure. This is the time of year where football players have mostly fatigue injuries. The beginning of the season, when training starts, people have injuries like ACL tears, and these are things that they get because the conditioning is not up to par after the off season. Nowadays, they've been playing routinely week to week, and fatigue injuries, hamstring pulls, hamstring tears, pec tendon injuries are always big things with football linemen. Bicep and tricep injuries as well from lifting weights and from pushing through the defensive line and things like that. Mostly overuse and fatigue injuries at this point in the season.
You know, we're speaking with Ortho Virginia's Matt Walker. Dr. Walker, I got a little email today saying that Richmond's own Matt Snyder may have a lower leg injury. UVA has not been required to disclose that yet. We don't know how serious it is, but hopefully it's not too bad because he, you know, he's a fine young man and one of the captains of the team and excellent downfield blocker, and occasionally he makes a good possession catch. But we're going to have to keep an eye on that. Hopefully this is a false alarm. But talk about shoulder real quick. We got about a minute before we go to break. Shoulder dislocations happen quite often in football, not so much in basketball, but what sort of things can be done to help stabilize that shoulder?
The best thing to do is a good conditioning program before the injury happens. And football players are always working heavily with weights and getting the upper extremity strong. They also need to work on their rotator cuff strength. The rotator cuff is a group of four muscles that help stabilize the shoulder, and it's one of the things that we can do to train the rotator cuff and to build up the strength of the rotator cuff actively to prevent dislocations. The other restraints for shoulders are ligaments and the bony architecture, which we can't change, but in terms of strengthening the shoulder, working in rotator cuff strength can help prevent those dislocations. The other thing is good mechanics when it comes to tackling. The at-risk position is when the patients or when the players have their arms in an extended, externally rotated position. So if they are to fall on the arm in that position, that's kind of a dangerous position. Or quarterbacks who are in the throwing position, cocking and accelerating the arm when a defensive lineman bats down that quarterback's arm, that's a dangerous position to be into. So avoiding the unstable positions and making sure they have a good, strong rotator cuff as part of their training program will help to decrease those injuries.
All right, Dr. Walker, we thank you for taking a few minutes to join us and update us on some of these injury issues, and hopefully we'll have you back before too long.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, Dr. Matt Walker joining us tonight from Ortho Virginia. We will be back after these messages with Kevin Eds, the documentary film guy of Virginia football history. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Jim Hobgood, Frank Maloney, Michael Tuskey, and we're about to be joined by Kevin Eds, and Frank, handle the introduction.
Suffice to say, Kevin Eds, at this point, almost needs no introduction since he's been on just about air show and every other show I'm familiar with, but a frequent visitor with Jay James in the best seat in the house up in Charlottesville. But
And the official name of the documentary is?
Is Wahoo Wah.
Wahoo Wah.
Which you can pick up at the UVA bookstore when you're visiting Charlottesville, or you can go online.
Another proud sponsor of Who's Talking, may I?
Right, and those guys have been great. And by the way, UVA bookstore has been terrific for us, and I hope folks will take advantage of that. Kevin used to work, I believe, with the Discovery Channel, producing a variety of different documentaries. And
did he do Shark Week?
I don't think so, but I think he wanted to do Shark Week.
Oh, okay.
I've worked a little bit on Shark Week.
Oh, you did do Shark Week. Oh, now you moved up. Now you moved up. Everybody loves Shark Week. Kevin, labor of love, building this incredible documentary, Wahoo Wah, History of UVA Football. And you and I have been talking recently about a variety of similarities and the competitiveness of the UVA versus Georgia Tech series,
yep.
which began back in the 60s. And when you found out that Bob Davis was going to be a guest, I thought it might be good timing, and you did too, to join us and sort of give us your perspective on how the series got started and all that good stuff.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Frank and Jim. I appreciate it. So the series between Georgia Tech does not go as far back as, say, our rivalry with UNC, which started in 1892. It's a more recent series that started when Georgia Tech left the SEC in 1964. So the series started 1 year later in 1965, and Georgia Tech had UVA's number for the first eight contests there. They did not lose a game to UVA at all. But once George Welsh came to town, things started to change a little bit, and the tide started to turn. But it was real interesting. Interesting, though, watching that game last week, because there were a lot of similarities between a couple games in the rivalry, specifically one in 1966. Now, 1966, Georgia Tech was 6-0. They were ranked third in the country, and UVA went down there not doing so well that year, but they were led by Bob Davis, who was the quarterback that year, and also Frank Quayle, and UVA actually streaked out to a lead. They were winning 13-7. They were going for the extra point, and made the extra point, but there was a penalty on Georgia Tech, which pushed the ball a little bit closer to the goal, and the players begged the coach. You could talk to Bob later tonight and ask him if he begged the coach to go for two. UVA did. Unfortunately, Frank Quayle was stopped at the line. He turned around, pitched it back to Bob Davis, who passed to a wide-open Stan Kemp in the end zone, thinking they got the two-point conversion. Unfortunately, they did not. The refs had blown the play dead. Georgia Tech streaks down the field to win 14-13. UVA lost at the gun, missed a 22-yard field goal at the gun where they could have won it. So that was a very close game, but it also was similar to what happened in 1990, where UVA streaked out to a 7-0 record and was ranked number one in the country, which we all know very well.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts us Wahoo fans to think about that. Unfortunately, their field goal kicker, Scott Sisson, made that field goal. So there's definitely some similarities there. But the game on Saturday was fantastic. It was one that I think Georgia Tech fans will look back on. We kind of had some painful wins on both sides of the rivalry.
Right. Absolutely. That's absolutely the truth. And believe it or not, we actually have your audio clip from your documentary, and we're going to play this right now, and then you can give us sort of your recap once they play it. Here it goes. Jesse's going to play it.
We were sort of awestruck. It was by far the best team we had played that year. And we had a good game plan, and we played beautifully. And late in the fourth quarter, it's 7-7. We go in for a touchdown. We're ahead 13-7. We kicked the extra point, but Georgia Tech had jumped off sides. So we beg Coach Blackburn to let us go for two, and so he does. I try and go over the top, and I see I'm not going to make it. And so I turn around, and I throw the ball back to Bobby Davis, and he catches the ball, and there's Stan Kemp wide open in the corner of the end zone. He throws to him, and we think we've got the two-point conversion, and the officials ruled that the play had been blown dead. They then take the ball in probably a seven-play drive. They just go flying down the field. They score and kick the extra point. And now we've got maybe a minute and 40 seconds left in the game. So we get the kick, and we drive to their 12-yard line. You know, we were at Grand Field in Atlanta. There were about 48,000 people, but that was a big crowd in those days. It was packed. And you can just see the tension in the people on the edge of their seats. The Virginia team is along the sideline, everybody holding hands as we line up to kick. What people didn't know, but our field goal kicker, we used to kid him that he was the guy who put the excitement back in the extra point. That he was a straight-on kicker, couldn't kick it that far, doesn't make the field goal. So it would have been this remarkable upset. Didn't come to pass, but it was my most memorable game.
And that was Frank Quayle there. And my apologies for giving too much of the description there. But, so that was Frank talking about that game there. And even though Georgia Tech had UVA's number there at the beginning of the rivalry, you know, UVA's won 14 of the past 21 against them. And UVA leads the rivalry now 17-6-1. And just as much as we sort of look back on that loss in 1990 and 1966 as, you know, very painful, UVA has actually beaten five ranked Georgia Tech teams during that 10 home game streak that we had over them from 1990 until 2009. So we've kind of gotten them back a little bit too, I think.
Well, I have a certain feeling that Coach Johnson and Coach Groh will always rue the day that they rolled into Charlottesville this year and took a beating, particularly in the second half, where they only had one drive of any note. And fourth quarter, they almost had no yards at all. But, you know, Frank Quayle has been a guest on their show a number of times, and I don't remember him talking about that particular game. But can you imagine being down there and throwing the ball to the corner of the end zone, thinking you've converted that two-point play, and then the referee's saying that the play is dead? So
yeah, that was heartbreaking. And I know, I'm sure Bob can talk about it a little bit too. And I know you only have a moment left, but you know, Bob was one of my favorite players to look back at the game films. And we were researching this and getting game films of Bill Dudley and Frank Quayle. Frank was amazing too, but Bob Davis, I mean, talk about a guy that I think that you know, Al Groh described him as like a Roger Staubach type player, and that's absolutely correct. You know, he led the team in rushing as a second year quarterback at UVA. He had two 100-yard rushing games by his third year. He was all ACC his second year, which back then, you know, you didn't play your first year. You had to sit out and play on the first-year team. So he had almost immediate success there. And he also led UVA to a shocking upset of a heavily favored Army his second year, which was fantastic, a 35-14 victory. You know, in 1966, he was again voted first team all ACC. He was a player of the year, almost beat Clemson down in Clemson there in 1966 also. That was, you know, just a fantastic game where UVA was winning 35-14 at the end of the third quarter, and they come roaring back and score three touchdowns to win 40-35. We could have prevented that 29-game losing streak to Clemson right there in game number four or five against them. But, you know, I think that the thing that best describes Bob Davis is Clemson coach Frank Howard, you know, the coach that referred to Virginia as white meat.
Yep.
For so many years. After that game in 1966, he went to UVA's locker room, and he told the media he had to shake Bob Davis's hand. He said he was the finest quarterback he believed he had ever seen.
Wow. Well, Kevin, you have really hyped our next segment with with Bob Davis. So not only do we thank you for joining us tonight, we thank you for the information on Bob, who will be joining us after we take this break. That was Kevin Eds of Wahoo Wah. We'll be back after these messages with the very guy that he was just talking about, Bob Davis. Stay with us.